Welcome to Shattering This, a program devoted to the most important segment of society, to those who have finally come to realize that the world's political, religious, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they have become counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. There is no reason for anyone to devote effort to rearrange the deck chairs on this sinking Titanic of state. Our mission is to know who is working against our interests, to expose them so that people understand that they should not trust their government or their faith. In our concluding hour, we're going to continue to explore the difference between Paul and Yahweh so that Christians might recognize that Paul was a false prophet. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion anytime over the next 3 hours, is 877-376-45. Immediately upon it occurring, I shared with our listeners yesterday that the United States had gone into Libya, by the way, without government notification, just as we did into Pakistan, because America thinks that the entire world belongs to it and that sovereign lines of distinction are immaterial. It went into Libya, and it captured Katala. Now, for those who have listened to this program for a long time, you would recognize that on the morning of September 12th of 2012, that I did a series of exposés on Ansar Sharia and on Katala. Told you where he had come from, what his Islamic training was, and the nature of the terrorist organization that he led. I even shared with you how Katala and Ansar Sharia was engaged in regular contact with the U.S. CIA and State Department in Libya, that they played basketball together, that they hung out and played cards together, that they were bosom buddies. And the reason I did so is because I knew all about the film and knew that the film had nothing to do with the Benghazi attack against the U.S. consulate in Benghazi. Now, I knew about the film because I had been asked to contribute to it as an expert on Muhammad. I declined because I don't work with Christians. You know, I have decided long ago that the enemy of my enemy is not necessarily my friend. And that to partner with a religion, to expose and condemn a religion, was a bad idea. And since the producers of the Muhammad film were Copt Christians, I elected not to contribute to its production. Now, the fact is that the statements made about Muhammad in the film are all accurate. Muhammad was a womanizer. He was a pedophile. He was incestuous. He was a rapist. Muhammad was a bloodthirsty, ruthless, mass-murdering terrorist. All of those things are beyond repute. They are absolutely true. The Quran and the Hadith depict Muhammad in the first 10 years of the Islamic era leading 75 terrorist raids. And the slave trade, mass murder, kidnapping, rape, and thievery were part of all of those raids. And so the depiction of Muhammad in the movie is vastly more accurate than the depiction of Muhammad in any political discussion. If Muslims are unaware that Muhammad was a pedophile, that he was a rapist, that he was a ruthless terrorist, then they ought not be Muslims, because that's the truth. That's what the Quran says about him. It's what the Hadiths say about him. However, that movie didn't have one iota of influence over the events of September 11th, 2012. That attack was perpetrated by Ansar Sharia. It had been organized many months in advance by Ansar Sharia. Ansar Sharia had garnered its intelligence by spending enormous amounts of time with the State Department and with the CIA, and two of the four Americans that were killed were CIA in Benghazi. So they knew exactly who was going to be at the consulate, including when the U.S. ambassador would be at the consulate. You know, the embassy is not in Benghazi, it's in Tripoli. It's a consulate. And aware of those details, they began accumulating the weapons, which were 50 caliber machine guns, AK-47s, rocket-propelled grenades, and even more powerful weapons, all which had been sent into Libya by the United States through Qatar to support the jihadists fighting against Muammar Gaddafi. So America supplied the intelligence for the attack to Ansar Sharia. America supplied the weapons for the attack to Ansar Sharia. And the morning of the attack, because of the fact that the CIA operatives in the State Department, as well as the State Department personnel, had common and regular contact with Ansar Sharia, they knew exactly who was attacking. It would be uncommon for the CIA and the State Department to know the average individual in Libya and to distinguish one jihadist from another, but Ansar Sharia was their principal contact. They thought that Ansar Sharia, because they played cards and basketball with them and had tea with them, was their bosom buddy and was a conduit into knowing what the other Islamic terrorist groups were doing. They recognized them. That's why the cables from the CIA and the State Department said that the attack was being perpetrated by Ansar Sharia. And so now, in 2014, nearly 2 years after the attack, the President of the United States is sent in special forces to capture Katala, the founder of Ansar Sharia. Ansar Sharia, by the way, means friends or supporters, Ansar, of Sharia law. Law based upon Muhammad's life. It's interesting in a way that since Sharia is based upon Muhammad's life and the movie was based upon Muhammad's life, they have a lot in common. But one of the things they do not have in common is this particular attack. Now, of course, the State Department and the Obama administration did not want America to think that American weapons and American intelligence, the CIA, and the American State Department were aiding and abetting Islamic terrorists, and that we had provided the weapons and the information necessary to kill our own, and then we had stood down while they were being killed. That wasn't good for business, because Obama had given a speech shortly before telling Muslims this was their time. They should rise up, that they had a great religion, and that America would never target Islam as an enemy. And so this administration was put in quite a pickle. They needed to lie, and they did. They blamed a Christian movie, even though they knew that it wasn't true. Now, for this administration now to actually capture Katala, who, by the way, has been available for the past 2 years. Katala is interviewed by CNN and other media outlets. I've shared stories on this program about interviews conducted with media outlets, and Katala told his whole story. But for them to go and say, this is our guy, we're capturing him, we're going to bring him to justice, tells you that the President of the United States knows that he lied, is admitting that he lied. Although if you read these news stories, guess what's not mentioned? Answer Sharia. But the only thing that's relevant is answer Sharia. The President, Obama, said in a statement that he had authorized the operation in Libya on Sunday, in which U.S. Special Operations Forces captured Ahmed Abu Qatala. Quote, since the deadly attacks on our facilities in Benghazi, I have made it a priority to find and bring to justice those responsible for the deaths of the four brave Americans. He said that Qatala would face the full weight of the American justice system. Actually, the President of the United States has done everything he can to convince the American people that the cause of the attack is the Copt Christian who's living in America. Yeah, that's what the President has done. There were many of us, like myself, that said no, it was answer Sharia. But the President wanted nothing to do with that. But there's an item here in the President's statement, the full weight of the American justice system. Now, I've already mentioned that America went into Benghazi as if Benghazi was Texas. And with our special forces, captured this man and brought him back. Well, he's not in America yet. He's sitting in New York Harbor on a naval dock so he can be interrogated without his Miranda rights. But then he's going to face the full weight of the American justice system. Well, why wouldn't that cause this journalist to puke? Does America think that the American justice system prevails in Libya? Does America think that its justice system is the justice system of the world? Does America think that we can go and capture anybody in any country, regardless of what their laws say, and that their laws don't apply and ours do? This fellow's not an American citizen. This fellow was living in Libya. Ought he be subject to Libyan laws? Or at the very least be taken to the international court? Who are we? An article published by Reuters, but it is the same sentiment that is communicated in other periodicals. It is breathtaking in its stupidity. Reuters wrote, Qatala's capture was a victory for Obama, who has been accused by Republicans of playing down the role of al-Qaeda in the 2012 attacks for political reasons and being slow to deliver on promises of justice. You know, whoever was the little twit that decided to write that, you just shake your head and say, you know, when you're that stupid, if you're that indoctrinated by politics, if you think that articulating lies is somehow going to garner support for your career, and you are one sad sack of a human being. Qatala's capture is a major disgrace for Obama, who claimed that the attack was perpetrated by a mob that was incited by a Christian movie that misrepresented Muhammad. That's what he claimed. This fella is the founder of an Islamic terrorist organization, Ansar Sharia, that was specifically responsible for having planned and perpetrated the attack. By designating him as the responsible party, it is an absolute admission that the President of the United States deliberately and knowingly lied. Now, if you think that that's a victory, to acknowledge that the President of the United States, on an issue of national importance where we have devoted hundreds of billions of dollars of weaponry and the lives of thousands of our soldiers, if you think that lying on such a situation is honorable, acceptable, victorious, then there's something seriously wrong with you. Qatala's capture is an absolute admission that the President of the United States is a lying piece of scum. That's what it's an admission of. And that we are, as a nation, stunningly arrogant. That we think that the American judicial system applies to everyone, no matter where they live. God, the arrogance of that. And by the way, there is absolutely no connection between Ansar Sharia and Al-Qaeda. This whole mindset of America trying to tie Islamic terrorism to Al-Qaeda is as big a lie as Obama saying that a Christian movie misrepresenting Muhammad inspired the riots that led to the deaths of the four Americans in Benghazi. Al-Qaeda is meaningless. It has always been meaningless. The other day I was looking up the economics of terror. And after America was through with using Al-Qaeda and the Taliban to fight a proxy war against the Russians, the USSR, in Afghanistan, where we supplied some $5 billion worth of money and weapons through the CIA to build the capability of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, not thinking that, of course, that once they were done, they would use those weapons against America, that capability against America. By the time we reach 2001 and the 9/11 suicide bombings, by the time we reach that point and we have 19 Muslims, fundamental Salaf Muslims, flying planes into our buildings as suicide bombers, the entire net worth of Al-Qaeda was $30 million. Now, put that in perspective. The net worth of ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, is $1.6 billion. $30 million, $1.6 billion. The number of operatives is 1,000 to 1. But Ansar Sharia and its founder had no contact with Al-Qaeda. I mean, he thought that Al-Qaeda was a swell organization, tried to communicate with them, tried to league with them, tried to associate with them, and they had nothing to do with it. They wouldn't even respond to his letters. Qatala was being held aboard the USS, or currently the USS New York, and that is because the United States wants to terrorize him and to torture him and to elicit confessions, and we don't want those confessions and the maltreatment to injure the American claim against him in a court of law where all of those kinds of behaviors would cause the case to be thrown out. Now, when we return, we're going to play a clip where Jen Pileski, who is the nitwit spokesperson for the State Department, General Martin Dempsey, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said that the U.S. troops acted with extraordinary skill, courage, and precision, and that the complex operation resulted in no casualties. This is a fellow that if you were willing to buy him a cup of tea, you could meet with him at any coffee shop. He was more than willing to talk to anybody. The criminal complaint released by the U.S. District Court for Washington, D.C., has accused Qatala of killing a person in the course of an attack on a federal facility. By the way, there's really no evidence that I've seen that he was actually there that day. He may have been, but that's going to be a tough call to prove that he actually killed one of the four individuals. Providing material support to terrorists, who's describing them as terrorists? I mean, think about that. When a militia attacks a political institution, like a State Department, particularly with the CIA, which just has combatants in it, it's not an act of terrorism. If Ansar Sharia went off and attacked a school, if they went out and attacked a marketplace, then it would be a terrorist act. But attacking a a U.S. government facility that was supplying weapons and coordinating attacks. That's not terrorism. And the use of a firearm in the commission of a crime of violence. If, in fact, the United States is at a war against terrorism, how in the world are you going to prosecute the other side for using a gun? I mean, we need to think this through. If they're civilians in America, you can prosecute them for using a gun in the commission of a crime. But if we claim that we're at war against terrorism, then how do we prosecute the other side for fighting back? The Libyan government had no comment on the U.S. announcement. A U.S. official speaking on the condition of anonymity said that Libya was not notified before the raid, just as was the case in Pakistan. The Pentagon, however, said that, Libya had been told about the operation, but wouldn't say when or wouldn't say anything that was specific. You're going to hear in a moment Jen Psaki of the State Department trying to dance all around this, but it telling you ineffectively, no, we didn't tell Libya because we don't trust them. Katala was expected to be questioned by an elite interagency interrogation team created in 2009 to seek information from suspects to prevent future terrorist attacks. You know, Ansar Sharia has absolutely no capability nor any interest in perpetrating an Islamic terrorist attack in the United States. None. Would they attack an American facility in Libya? Yeah, we shouldn't have one there. But perpetrating a terrorist attack against Americans in the United States, not a prayer. Lawmakers welcomed Katala's capture, but Republicans said there were concerns that processing him in the court system rather than through the military tribunals at Guantanamo would hamper efforts to interrogate him for his intelligence value. You know, boys, you just really ought to read a little more. If you want to know what his intelligence value was, why don't you read the CNN article published on him? It was published on him well over a year ago, almost 2 years ago. Go read it. It's not hard to find. Hillary Clinton, in a sit-down interview with Fox News, suggested that she had doubts from the onset whether the Benghazi terrorist attack was triggered by a protest over an anti-Islam film, though her State Department said otherwise. He said, this was just all in the fog of war when asked about the administration's controversial public explanation of the attack. She says, my own assessment careened from the video had something to do with it to the video had nothing to do with it. It may have affected some people, but didn't affect other people. It had absolutely nothing to do with it. And she Clinton added, there is no doubt that terrorists were involved. Despite her own apparent deliberations, the State Department, which she was head of, put out a statement the night of September 11th that cited that inflammatory material posted on the Internet was the cause of the attack, speaking of the film. Still dodging her political prospects, however, dogging them, is the controversy over the 2012 Benghazi terror attack, the State Department official saying that she does not have a credible story. Let's play the first clip from Jen Psaki's comment. She is an absolute nitwit, but in everything this woman says is poison. But she's being questioned about the capture of one Katala.
That our own Arwa Damon found Abu Katala in a coffee shop. He said he had not been contacted by any American investigators. Now, earlier today, you called this irrelevant, but I'm not trying to be flip here. Why did it take long to get him if journalists were able to find him more than a year ago?
Well, Jake, the factors that the President of the United States and the National Security Team look at when they're about to undertake operations like this one are, is it ready to go and is it prepared to succeed? And what we're looking at here is this individual has now been detained and it was a successful operation.
Yes, so don't question me about the fact that for the past 2 years we've lied to the American people and said that Ansar Sharia had nothing to do with it. Don't pretend that we were actually conducting an investigation because no one from the U.S. interrogated, met with, even posed a question to Katala for years after the attack. And the man made himself apparently readily available. And so the administration said, you can just forget about all of that. We have our guy. Don't ask me any questions about him because, well, those questions would be embarrassing. So if all you should really care about is that we had a successful operation. The arrogance of this. You know, she said, oh, you know, we as the President of the United States and the National Security Team, we have an entirely different standard than the media. Oh, we have to consider all sorts of things that you little peons down there in the media, you don't really have to bother yourself with, like the truth. Let's play the next part of this clip.
We know there's ample precedent for journalists interviewing terrorists or other individuals, but there are a range of factors the United States government has to look at before taking action.
Can you give us an idea of what those factors are? Did you have to get the permission of the government of Libya? What kind of factors are you talking about?
Well, the Libyan government obviously has been well aware of our desire and tracking down and holding those who were responsible for the terrible attacks on September 11th accountable. That's what we have done in this case. But this was a U.S.-run operation, a unilateral operation run by the United States. But again, we wanted to make sure this would have a successful outcome to the degree possible. We did, and we have.
In other words, no, we didn't tell them. We don't really care that it's a foreign state. America thinks that it owns the world. We'll do whatever we want to do with our military at any time we wish to do it. And too bad for you. You know, we're not going to notify you. We didn't notify Pakistan. We didn't notify Libya. We went into Somalia recently. We didn't notify anybody in Somalia. We'll use our troops anytime we want to. We didn't ask the Iraqis when America just sent 274 more U.S. forces into Iraq whether or not they were welcome. America thinks the world belongs to it. But a successful outcome. How can you have it a successful outcome when this woman and the U.S. State Department deliberately lied to the American people and said that this was a spontaneous reaction to a film, and now you're capturing the founder of Ansar Sharia, which was the very specific fundamentalist Islamic terrorist organization that planned and perpetrated the attack? You know, we just lost our conscience. What we ought to be saying in this case is, yeah, we look really bad here. We provided the weapons. We provided the intel. Our CIA and State Department was meeting with Katala and Ansar Sharia on a regular basis. He was identified, and that group was identified as perpetrating the attack the night of the attack. And we misrepresented the facts. This is a huge embarrassment for the United States, and we need to apologize to the American people. Instead of gloating, this was a successful mission. When we return to Shattering Myths, we're going to turn our attention to Bremer. Paul Bremer is the fellow that became the de facto American dictator over Iraq when we broke the country. And what I'm going to share with you is a series of four or five clips from an interview that he did, and he is so unbelievably arrogant and disingenuous in this interview. And what we're going to do is we're going to share what he had to say about the glorious success of Iraq. What he's trying to do now is blame the Obama administration for Iraq, saying that he and the Bush administration were perfect. They created an ideal community there in Iraq, that it was just a wonderful place, and that they were responsible for fixing Iraq. And what we're going to do is we're going to listen to what he has to say, and then we're going to present the facts. And what you're going to find is that the American imposed dictator over Iraq, after America invaded the country and broke it, has lied about everything he had to say. Everything. And folks, I've said this a lot of times on this program. If you have to lie to advance your cause, then you do not have a cause worth advancing. That's the simple truth. about all of this. And in the case of Iraq and the realization that Iraq has fallen to exactly where I said it was going to end up some 12 years ago, that we only have ourselves to blame. There was no outcome other than the one we're experiencing that is remotely possible. Iraq could not be turned into a democracy based on American values. It was impossible. And what the other sad part of this interview, and we're going to present it in a series of four or five clips, is that the person interviewing Bremer, who has her own show, hosts her own show on CNN, she is incapable of holding him accountable for any one of his mistakes. And there isn't a single reference here to the realization that America is supplying weapons to ISIS in Syria and then trying to oppose ISIS by supplying weapons to the Shia government in Iraq, which is the very Shia government it's opposing in Syria. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. This segment and those that follow are going to cut in and out of a CNN program that is a interview I think her name is Erin, a CNN host, with the Paul Bremer, who was the de facto dictator of Iraq following the U.S. Invasion. Let's play the first some 40 seconds of that clip, if we could, please, Erin.
You're talking about airstrikes and retaking cities and intelligence people on the ground. As you know this number, 4,490 lives have been lost in the Iraq war, American lives, $1.7 trillion spent already. How can you advocate any more people, any more lives going to risk for that country?
Because it's in our interest, and there are two points about our interest. Number one, as the president pointed out on Friday in his first statement, we cannot allow the world's worst terrorist group to get a base of support in a failed nation. This is not Afghanistan, which is remote and behind the mountains. This is the heart of the Middle East with a lot of wealth, and we cannot allow that to happen.
Boy, think of all of the implications of that. We can't allow it to happen in a failed nation. Now, why has the nation failed? There was a number of surveys done on nations in terms of failed nations. Iraq was listed as one of the fifth most failed nations on the part of the worst five of the 250 nations on Earth immediately after the U.S. invasion. It's a failed nation because America invaded it, is why it's a failed nation. But then he goes on to say, you know, this is right in the heart of the Middle East. This is not some backwards place like Afghanistan and hidden behind the mountains. And why do we invade Afghanistan? You know, if in fact you want to pretend that America has a vital interest there, why aren't the vital interests there the same as as George Bush proclaimed? He says that America had to invade Iraq because they had weapons of mass destruction. Oops, that was a lie. Well, we had to invade Iraq because they're harboring al-Qaeda. Well, that was a lie. Now, we're going to hear Bremer talk about defeating al-Qaeda in Iraq, even though there was no al-Qaeda in Iraq. He's going to continue to promote that lie, and yet Erin, the host of the show, doesn't hold him accountable for doing so. But just at the beginning of this, that America has a vital interest in Iraq, that America, which has already squandered for over 4,000 American lives and $1.7 trillion, ought to go back into Iraq, ought to reinvade Iraq with U.S. troops because it's in the heart of the Middle East. And guess what he didn't say? Is that this world's worst terrorist organization, ISIS, is equipped because America has been supplying it with weapons in Syria. Now let's play the second part of this man's just abominable diatribe.
But people, a lot of people are watching you right now, and they're hearing you give your ideas of what to do, and they're saying, but aren't you the guy who got us in this mess? I mean, they're saying, look, you're the guy who ran Iraq for President George W. Bush. And let me just play this, Ambassador, if I can. You in Baghdad the morning after Saddam Hussein was captured.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him. This is a great day in Iraq's history. Iraq's future, your future, has never been more full of hope. The tyrant is a prisoner. Now is the time for all Iraqis, Arabs and Kurds, Sunnis, Shia, Christian and Turkmen, to build a prosperous, democratic Iraq at peace with itself and with its neighbors.
We now, of course, know none of that came to pass.
No, actually, you're wrong, Aaron. Every single bit of that came to pass. They have held, they have the Arab world's most progressive constitution. They have conducted six elections since I made that speech, all of them democratically. They have a democratically elected government. Their per capita income, just a minute.
Go ahead.
Their per capita income today is six times what it was when I made that speech. They had all of that in place. We defeated al-Qaeda. The Iraqi army defeated al-Qaeda with our help in 2009. All of those things came true. They have all been reversed in the last 2 years, 3 years.
We will comment on everything he said when Shattering Myths continues, and we have Glenn with us, and we will welcome his insights as well. Stay tuned.